Welcome, welcome all to Brews and Banter FC. I'm Redbeard, joined by my co-host Targo. In this episode, we're going to take a look at the Premier League Hall of Fame nominees, and holy crap, is there a load of them, along with ranking every current Premier League manager.
But that's not all. We're also previewing the big game at the weekend. Manchester City hosts Arsenal at the Etihad on what could be the title decider. Who knows?
I think so.
But an all-new episode of Brews and Banter FC starts right now.
How the hell are you, buddy?
Not too bad, man. Not too bad. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Got my beer this time.
What are you drinking?
That's a good question. I'm drinking Parsec Grapefruit Hazy IPA by Ecliptic Brewing.
Ecliptic. They usually have pretty good beers.
They do, but I'm not a fan of grapefruit. So
you're not.
I'm not. It's too tart for me. We'll see if it goes good in a hazy IPA.
They usually do go pretty good in hazies. How is it?
It's tart.
It's tart, so not your cup of tea then.
Not only is it tart, but it's very hoppy. Like, very.
Very hoppy.
Yes. I'm going to go, well, it's 6.5%, so I'm going to go 6.5. Maybe even lower than that.
I like it. I like it.
That is gross.
Oh, you really don't like it then, huh?
The aftertaste just keeps coming. It's gross. It's gross. Do not recommend. I downplay that. It's about a 4.
That's what she said.
It's bad.
I am drinking, I don't even know how to pronounce this, man. It's P-F-R-I-E-M.
Frem.
Frem.
Yeah.
That's the can. Have you heard of it?
Yeah. I've had a couple of those on this Frem program.
Nectaron India Pale Ale.
Nice.
It says they're from New Zealand, but then it says this was produced and canned in Hood River, Oregon. So, I don't know. This one might be pretty similar. It is also a hazy. It says it has some zesty whirlwind of pineapple, stone fruit, and passion fruit notes.
Ooh.
It's your passport to hoppy paradise.
Well,
I'll be the judge of that.
For your sake, I hope it tastes much better than mine.
Got some foam on my nose. That's a good beer. Damn.
Yeah, they make a lot of really good ones.
That was really good. I like this. This might be gone pretty quick here.
All right. Another, well, that's good because I also have some left at the end. So you're going to have to drink for both of us in this episode.
That is a good beer. Would recommend. I'm going to give that like a solid 9.
Nice.
I would
I'll keep an eye out for that one.
Buy again.
I'll have to keep an eye out for that one. Was that Frem?
Yeah,
something hazy IPA?
It's a Nectaron.
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 Okay. Cool name, too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now a word from our sponsors.
Today's episode is brought to you by Acorn Hills Clothing Company. Sustainable clothing, biodegradable packaging, tree planted for every purchase, and a percentage of their sales donated to charities.
Yeah, and that's not even the best part. They give you these plantable clothing tags with every purchase. Pretty much greatest idea ever. You just scan the QR code right here for planting instructions. So make sure you go to www.acornhillsco.com and use BREWS15, that is BREWS15, at checkout for 15% off. And have your tree planted today.
Yes. Don't forget to use our code BREWS15 at checkout for 15% off. This is one you don't want to miss, guys.
All right. Wow, that's bad. That's really bad. All right. Premier League Hall of Fame. And we got players like, I know Henry is in there. Shearer's in there.
Bergkamp. Oh, yeah, Bergkamp.
Yeah. Lampard, I think. Lampard, Gerrard.
If you want me to look it up, you can go through the names and I'll look it up.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So we got quite a few nominees for this newest inductee class. So we got Sol Campbell, Michael Carrick, Andy Cole, Jermaine Defoe, Cesc Fabregas, Les Ferdinand, Robbie Fowler, Eden Hazard, Gary Neville, Michael Owen, David Silva, John Terry, Yaya Toure, Edwin van der Sar, and Nemanja Vidic.
Vidic, there you go.
Ashley Cole has already been inducted into the 2024 Premier League Hall of Fame. Two more will be inducted to join the likes of...
The likes of Alan Shearer, Thierry Henry, Eric Cantona, Roy Keane, Frank Lampard, Dennis Bergkamp, Steven Gerrard, David Beckham, Wayne Rooney, Patrick Vieira, Sergio Aguero, Didier Drogba, Vincent Kompany, Peter Schmeichel, Paul Scholes, Ian Wright, Tony Adams, Petr Cech, Rio Ferdinand, Ashley Cole, plus a couple managers, Arsene Wenger and Sir Alex Ferguson.
Okay. Pretty extensive list there. I would say all of them definitely deserve to be in there.
A really good list of players. Yes, it was.
Yeah. I would say the only controversial one for me is David Beckham, but you know my opinion on him.
Okay. Well, this one could be pretty good, too. This year. So Ashley Cole, I definitely think is deserved. Probably the best left back the Premier League's ever seen.
No arguments here.
Yeah.
I don't like him because of some of his off-field decisions, but his play on the field speaks for itself, and I will not disagree with you on that one.
So I saw this interesting thing. I think it was on Instagram. It was, is Ashley Cole an Arsenal legend? Because I think we can agree he's a Chelsea legend, but is he an Arsenal legend where he started his career out at?
I'd say he's on the fence for me.
It's tough, right? Because he's an invincible, so it's like, oh, that almost automatically makes him a legend. But then the way he left kind of leaves a sour taste in a lot of
Arsenal fans' mouths. I mean, that'd be like asking, is Robin Van Persie an Arsenal legend? I guess not to the same degree, right? Because Van Persie didn't win as many trophies, but he went in the same way, right? So... I
thought it was an interesting one. For me,
it's a great point.
I don't think he is an Arsenal legend just because the way he left. I mean, don't get me wrong. He's an invincible, but it's just, I don't know. It was a weird one for me when I saw that on social media.
I think you'll find that there's a lot of people on both sides of the fence.
I think so. Yeah.
I'm going to be right smack dab in the middle and say, for me, it could go either way.
You need someone to convince you, huh?
If you're going just on the field, I probably would say yes. But if you take everything else into account, I would say no.
It's the way he left. I mean, let's be honest. 100%. It's the way he left, the club he went to, yeah.
Yeah. So, Targo, we got two more for this class. We got some blockbuster names in there. Probably too many to just choose two from.
We're going to make us choose two. You got to choose two, and I got to choose two.
I think that we probably both agree on one.
So I think the obvious one for me, anyway, is John Terry.
Oh, 100%. And I was going to say that's probably the one we agree on. But the other one is where it gets interesting because there's so many good players on this list, a couple of great players on this list. But which one gets that other spot? I'm sure they will get inducted later on down the line. You got to think of all the players that are going to be coming in versus these guys. It's going to be tough.
It is.
So who is your final player inducted into this year's Premier League Hall of Fame?
This was really tough, man. But I am going Edwin van der Sar. I'm going to give some love to a goalkeeper, man. He was a fantastic goalkeeper for Fulham. Then went on to Manchester United. Did fantastic things.
It was tough.
I mean, a part of me wanted to be a little biased, throw Cesc Fabregas in there or Sol Campbell, but even a Yaya Toure, I was probably my close third.
It's tough, man.
Vidic Andy was a fantastic
Cole in there
defender.
Too.
Oh, it was very tough.
I know.
John Terry, Edwin van der Sar.
Edwin van der Sar. Okay.
Give love to the goalies.
All right. Well, for me, I thought about doing just straight defenders in this one, give some love out to them. Because there's been so many attacking players inducted already. So I want to give love to Sol Campbell. I don't know if he did enough in his career to jump over the likes of Vidic, though, because of how many trophies Vidic won, those great teams that he was on.
But you got to remember, this is also just Premier League.
Yes, yes. But, I mean, Vidic did win quite a few Premier League trophies, as where Sol Campbell won, what, two? Maybe three?
Yeah.
And then Van der Sar, I mean, arguably the best Premier League goalie of all time.
That's probably very arguably, but he's up there. He's
one of the only goalie on this list. I think you just said Peter Schmeichel was the only goalie inducted so far.
He was, yep.
Yeah. But I'm gonna have to go into Mane Vidic. There was not a more dominant center back that I've ever seen in the Premier League than him. And I love the way he played, even though he played for Manchester United. Just that physical, aggressive, gonna break you in half with every challenge kind of player. I'm gonna have to go with him. Close second, Van der Sar, then Sol Campbell just behind. So,
okay. Another tough one for me, man, was David Silva.
Yeah. I think it's too soon, though. I think there's a lot of older players.
And Hazard's too soon.
Yeah. I mean, David Silva just retired, I think, the same calendar year as Eden Hazard.
I probably was the same calendar year because it was, when he tore his ACL for Sociedad. Broke his leg or something, got some injury.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think those two a little too soon. Yaya Toure, good shout there. I also think that's too soon. You got all these legends from way back in the day. So what do you guys think? Let us know on our Instagram, our TikTok, Brews Banter FC. Instagram is Brews FC. Our Facebook group and our Facebook page, as well as like and subscribe to our channel. Hit that notification bell.
Or comment down below in the video on YouTube.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, Targo, the harder question, or maybe just funnier.
Funnier?
Who should be nowhere near this list?
Who should be nowhere near this list? This was... Oh, man. This is, I think, where my bias might come out, because obviously I'm going to say Jermaine Defoe.
Well, let's go with this. How many trophies did Jermaine Defoe win?
I think he won a League Cup. I think they won that League Cup, whatever year that was, in 2008.
Zero Premier League trophies.
But yes, that's the big one, man. He did score some goals, 191 goals in the Premier League for whoever, Tottenham, Sunderland,
Tottenham,
various clubs.
All over the place.
But yeah, I think I'm going to go with Jermaine Defoe.
Okay. Anybody else on there that might be a little controversial for you?
Yeah, I do have one, man. I'm going to say Michael Owen. So don't get me wrong. Michael Owen for Liverpool, fantastic. Great few years there. Went to Real Madrid. Didn't do jack shit. Yeah. Flushed the toilet. He went down the drain. He came back. He Newcastle stint, Manchester United stint, wherever else. He didn't do crapola, man.
He was garbage.
He averaged, once he came back from the Premier or from Real Madrid into the Premier League, he averaged 7 goals a season.
Yeah.
Seven. Michael Owen.
Yeah.
He is not a great. Sorry to throw it out there. He is not. He only scored 150 Premier League goals. That's less than Jermaine Defoe.
I'm going to agree with you on that one. I do not rate him very highly, and his commentary or punditry is even worse. So
I don't even listen to him on there, so I couldn't tell you.
He does the PGMOL show where they do the VAR checks
with
Howard Webb, and he doesn't even question anything. No challenging questions, nothing. It's awful.
Well, I think that's why they hire those people, so they can agree with the referee, so there's no controversy.
Yeah, but this is Michael Owen we're talking about. You would think, with his playing style, that he would be able to challenge these kind of things. It makes for a better show. I don't know. All right, I'll get into mine. A guy who is one of, in my opinion, one of the worst pundits in the history of Sky Sports. Gary Neville.
Gary Neville.
Not a great player, surrounded by great players.
He's the captain of that team.
Okay, cool. Good for him.
A very winning team.
I know. Some great players on those teams. But I never rated him highly as a defender.
Okay.
What did he ever do for England?
I mean, you can say that about every English player, though, for the national team. They never did anything. Won any trophies. Never went far in the World Cup, the Euros. I mean,
always underperformed.
They're still waiting for that trophy to come home.
And we'll see this summer. But not a World Cup. That's the Euros.
I
don't know.
I do think he maybe should be on here. I think he is one of the better right backs that we've seen in the Premier League.
Okay. Jermaine Defoe, obviously. It's a lot of bias, but again, zero Premier League trophies. At least Gary Neville won a bunch. And then this one for me, because you had Michael Owen, so I'm not going to copy you. And this one's also going to be controversial. Robbie Fowler.
I could see it.
Yeah. What is it, 167 Premier League goals?
Yep.
I think he might have won a Premier League trophy with Liverpool, maybe.
His first stint with Liverpool was really good, and yeah, and then he kind of petered out. Like, honestly, yeah. I really remember him at Man City, and then his second coming to Liverpool, if I'm being honest, watching him play.
One of the first players to follow the money to Manchester City.
Honestly, I think that was before they even had money.
Was it? Okay.
That was back in the Richard Dunn days.
Yes.
The Nicholas Anelka days.
So, that is my last one that should be nowhere near this list, unfortunately, for Liverpool fans. And I did think during his first stint at Liverpool that he was a fantastic player. I just don't think he's Liverpool great.
Huh, interesting. We both picked strikers who had promising careers at Liverpool and then left and...
Went down the drain. Yeah, and a Tottenham striker. So, Tottenham. Okay, Targo. Final question.
Okay.
And the opposite of the last question. Who do you think is a low-key fantastic player but won't make it?
So we've already said some fantastic names. Like I mentioned David Silva, Yaya Toure, some of the, you said Vidic, Cesc, Sol Campbell. But one that we didn't talk about, who I think is a fantastic player, was Michael Carrick.
Yeah. I think he might be one of the most underrated players of all time.
He might be.
Yeah.
He really might be. He was a fantastic midfielder for Manchester United. And where was he before that? Was it Bolton?
You keep talking about him, and I will look it up.
It might have been, I can't remember. Maybe it was a Tottenham.
Yeah, for a little bit.
But I think Michael Carrick, man, fantastic player. He, you saw him on the coaching lines there for Manchester United when Ole was at the wheel. But I just think he's one of those players that just doesn't get the love he deserves and probably won't make it into this round of the Hall of Fame. But he is definitely a fantastic player that deserves a shout, who kind of did the work on the field, the not flashy things, didn't grab all the attention, but his role was very important on that field.
Yeah. So he played for West Ham and then went on loan to Swindon and Birmingham City and then played for Tottenham for 2 years and then played for Manchester United.
It was
for
Tottenham. Okay. Yep. Yeah.
So.
But that's what I would say is the low key player that probably won't make it, but is fantastic.
Yeah. I 100% agree with the Michael Carrick shout. I think that he should totally be amongst the list of some of the best midfielders in Premier League history. One that I think is going to go under the radar, and probably because a lot of people that are listening are younger and don't really remember him, is Les Ferdinand. Fantastic striker for Newcastle, and I'm not sure, somebody else, maybe Man United. He's got 189 goals in the Premier League. Was a fantastic player. Super exciting to watch. If I'm not mistaken, he did play with Alan Shearer as his strike partner. So,
yeah, he made his big name at QPR. And QPR. You're right, Newcastle, Tottenham, West Ham, Leicester, Bolton, Reading.
Yeah. And then
Turkey and Beşiktaş on loan.
There you go. I didn't know that, actually. Surprising. He played
three games for them.
Oh, okay. That would be why I didn't know that. And then one that I think he'll still get in at some point, but I don't think he'll get in this round, is Andy Cole.
Okay.
A lot of players that played for United rank him as the best player they played with. I think Rio Ferdinand said that. Yeah, he was a fantastic striker. Scored a boatload of goals, I think 229. Up there with the best strikers in Premier League history. I don't think this round that he'll get in, but we'll see.
Good shout on the Andy Cole. Les Ferdinand, I might disagree with you there. I mean, if you want to talk goals, Jermaine Defoe has more.
Fair. And they both played for Tottenham, so.
There you go. Well, now I kind of want to stir some shit up, bud. I saw all this right. On social media. It was ranking these five defenders in their prime. So that's what we're going to do. Because honestly, I was reading through the comments. There was a lot going on. No one could really agree on an order. And I see your list here. You and I do not agree on an order.
Yeah.
So this
I think we'll probably agree on one or two.
Yeah. So the list was, rank these five defenders in their prime. Paolo Maldini, mm-hmm. Sergio Ramos,
mm-hmm.
Virgil van Dijk, Carlos Puyol, and Giorgio Chiellini.
Okay.
So, I mean, now top-class defenders.
All top-class defenders. Are we talking in sheer skill, the way that they led their teams?
All of it, everything. Man. I did everything. I did it captaincy on the field. I did it, you know, goals. I did it trophies, the way they play. Okay. I tried to get all of it into my list to make it.
Okay, well then, I'm going to do this blindly because my list doesn't matter anymore. So...
Okay.
I'll go first.
You go first, man.
I'll hear you after that. So Paolo Maldini is obviously number one. I mean, okay, in my opinion, he's the greatest defender of the modern era. I'm not going to say all time, but modern era. Next, I mean, if you're going to go trophies and goal scoring, what they did on the field, it's got to be Sergio Ramos next. It's got to be.
Okay.
Got to be. Although, I will say very close behind him is got to be Carlos Puyol. That man was a man amongst men. He led that Barcelona team. He might not have been the best skill-wise, but you could never outwork him. You can never outrun him. He's a little pit bull on the field. So fun to watch. Virgil van Dijk is going to be my next one. In his prime for Liverpool, few better. I know you don't rate him very highly, but few better. And then Giorgio Chiellini. He won a bunch of titles with Juventus, but they also cheated. So, yeah.
Won a Euro.
He did win a Euro. I'm not downplaying how good he was. I just mean, out of these five, I think he is the worst overall. Skill-wise, I think he's higher up the list. But you talk goals, assists, trophies, the whole nine yards. So,
all right. So you went different than your list. So we are a little bit more similar.
I did.
We are. So my number one is Paolo Maldini. I think, you know, you say the modern time. I will just say he is the best defender of all time. I'll come out and say it. I will.
There were a few before we were born.
The guy could play left back. The guy could play center back. The guy could shut down Ronaldo. The guy could shut down Messi. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
My number two is the same as yours, Sergio Ramos. Captain of that Real Madrid team, man. Numerous Champions Leagues, World Cups, Euros. I think he's top scoring defender, one of the top scoring defenders of all time.
He definitely is in Spain. I don't know about all time, but he's definitely
he's
top
up there.
Goal scorer
he's up there
for defenders. Yeah.
I went with Carlos Puyol. Like you said, the guy was a pit bull. For me, what bumps him up above everyone else was, like you said, his work ethic. His attitude, his leadership. That's
and
what gets
his hair.
Him.
Can't forget his hair.
That's what gets him there for me. My number four, I went with Giorgio Chiellini.
I had a feeling. Yep. As soon as Virgil van Dijk was on this list, I had a feeling you'd put him last.
So I'll get to Virgil van Dijk. But Chiellini, yes, has titles with Italy, titles with Juventus. Even got a title in the MLS with LAFC.
Yep.
Just saying. Got bit by Luis Suarez. Kept on playing, man. I mean, the guy can do it all. And yes, I do have Virgil van Dijk last. But I think part of it is he's also still playing. His career is not done yet. So Where is he playing now? No, Virgil van Dijk.
Oh.
Still playing.
Okay. Got it. I was like, Chiellini got signed and released in the same season for Union Berlin. So
that was Bonucci, but good try.
Oh. Thank you. They look similar, all right?
They always play together. You're not wrong.
Yeah.
But yes, Virgil van Dijk is last because I think his career isn't over yet. He's still playing. He could win more. I mean, you think of the trophies he's won. You throw in a League Cup, one Premier League title, one
couple
Champions
FA
League.
Cups, Champions League, yeah.
Hasn't done anything with the Netherlands, which, I mean, it's usually not entirely one player's fault. But I think that's why I have him last. You're not wrong, skill-wise. If this was based off skill, I would have Virgil van Dijk higher in this list, above probably Chiellini and Puyol. But taking it all into account, he is last. And that is my list of these prime defenders. But let us know your list, guys. Make sure you hit us up, Bruising Banter FC.
I think you'll get some stick with some of those opinions. But
again, it was tough, man. Like, again, I saw this on social media. I was reading the comments. The list was all over the place. It really was. I think you could tell, like, the people over 30 versus under 30. I think there was a good mesh.
The ones who have seen Maldini versus the ones who haven't.
That was pretty much it. Like, who's seen Maldini play? Who remembers Carlos Puyol versus who's sucking on VVD's D?
Yeah, DD's D.
DD's D. But let's get to the big game that's coming up this weekend, man. Manchester City is hosting Arsenal at the Etihad. I know you and I are both very excited / very nervous for this game.
As any Arsenal fan is.
But, I mean, what does this mean for the title race? Does whoever win this game, do you see them going on to win the Premier League?
I would say, I mean, right now it's Arsenal's to lose, right? I think...
Technically,
I mean,
yes, they're on top of the table.
We've said it before, and I'll say it again. If City win this match, they win the title. From what we've seen them do...
You don't
do
see them losing a game
season,
at all from the rest of the season.
They might, but I still also think Liverpool will also drop numerous points.
Numerous, he says.
Arsenal have the potential... Going to Old Trafford, going to Tottenham Stadium, going to the Amex. There's a potential there for them to drop more points. However, I think if Arsenal win this, they have got all of the everything off their back. They have now done what they haven't been able to do in, what, 7 years, 8 years? Win at the Etihad?
I remember an Olivier Giroud goal, and that was about it, when Arsene Wenger was coach, where he went and slid in front of the home fans and that whole thing.
I do remember that one.
From that.
That was fantastic. And then, if Arsenal win this match, I don't see anyone stopping them for the rest of the season, barring themselves. So, same thing as City. Arsenal have taken more points off of the top three than anybody else in the league this season. Liverpool have only beaten Arsenal in the FA Cup. They drew and lost, and handsomely, might I add, to Arsenal at the Emirates. City have drawn Liverpool twice, if I'm not mistaken, and lost to Arsenal. So if Arsenal picks up a win against these teams, the confidence in this young squad... I don't see, maybe City beats them in the Champions League, whatever, but I don't think at that point Arsenal cares. So
yes, I don't think this will be the title decider. I do not. The reason why is because, like you said, if City win, but then Liverpool win out, Liverpool win the title. I mean, it's just the math behind it. Liverpool, I mean, if you look at the games they have left, their toughest fixtures are going to be probably Manchester United,
Tottenham,
Villa.
Villa, yeah.
Arsenal, I think they have a little bit more tricky fixtures.
And say, I think Arsenal have the hardest schedule out of the three. I do.
Because not only do they have to play Man City here, then in a couple weeks' time they'll have to play Bayern Munich, smash and throw Aston Villa in between those Bayern Munich games.
Mm-hmm.
They still have to face Chelsea, Tottenham, Manchester United. I mean, they could drop points very well.
Yeah.
But this Man City team, man, they cruise. It's like this is the part of the season where they just win constantly.
Constantly.
So you're right. I think Liverpool might, I don't think they'll drop numerous points, but I think they could drop a couple points.
I see a couple of draws in there and probably not where you think that they will be. So
yeah, I think Arsenal could also potentially drop some points. I don't think Man City drop points, man.
I think if they win the Arsenal game, I think the only match where they could potentially drop points is at Tottenham Stadium, where they tend to not do well. So
I would disagree with you. I would say at Brighton.
That too.
Brighton seem to pick points against them, either a draw or something.
City have only won once in the last like 5 or 6 tries at Tottenham Stadium, so.
And Tottenham does seem to also be a bugaboo, so yeah. I think those will be their two tricky ones. But other than that, I mean, you're looking at Forest, Wolves, West Ham, Fulham, Luton.
Yeah.
So if it's a title decider, it's if City win, then, like you said, I think they fucking coast, man.
Yeah, I think so too.
So which player do you think will be the biggest threat?
From both teams?
For both teams.
I think this will be 100% a midfield battle. I think.
So I guess let's get into it, because there's been a couple injuries here this international break. We've seen John Stones pull up here. Mm-hmm. Kyle Walker pull up. We'll see if they play in this game. I know off camera you mentioned KDB might be out. We obviously know
he's got another out. Yeah, Kevin De Bruyne has got another groin issue.
I feel for him, man. That groin issues are nothing to mess with.
I mean, Jack Grealish has been out off and on all season. He's supposedly out too. Akanji pulled up.
If you guys play soccer, make sure to stretch your groin. You don't want to hurt that.
It's one of those injuries, man. It just doesn't go away, and it does not take much to aggravate
it. As someone who
just,
for the first time, pulled a groin back in December, I was playing this morning, man. I still feel it. Like, that stretch for the ball, you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not fun. We know Ederson's out, like you said. Matias Nunes apparently has got an ankle issue and could be out. And like I said, Manuel Akanji just pulled up out of Switzerland.
Okay.
He's back with City already with some sort of knock. So there's some big names there. However, I think as far you asked, you know, which player is going to be the biggest threat? You got to go with Bernardo Silva, right? Because this is going to be it's going to be a midfield battle, right?
One could argue Phil Foden.
One could, but one could also argue Bukayo Saka, right? So I'm taking out the obvious players that are your impact players for both teams.
Well, give me your impact players, man. I said the biggest threat.
Biggest threat.
Yes.
Well, if Kyle Walker's out, it's Bukayo Saka.
Okay.
You're going to put Gvardiol against him? He's going to run him in circles, the way Gvardiol's been playing this season.
I think you're forgetting what positions they play. Saka's a right winger, and Kyle Walker's a right back.
Okay.
So, Martinelli.
Nathan Ake?
Shut him down last time.
Yeah. I would say Martinelli will give Gvardiol fits, for sure.
Well, Gvardiol...
I think where it's going to be decided, I mean, yes, it's going to be a midfield battle, but it's going to be that battle of Gabriel and Saliba against Erling Haaland.
So I'm going to disagree. I'm going to say a midfielder for Man City is their biggest threat, and that's Rodri.
Rodri always is.
He seems one of to be the biggest key for Manchester City. I mean, last season, he scored that last minute winner against Arsenal.
Nuts.
In the previous game when Arsenal won 1-0, it's because he was suspended. And so I think he is going to be the key.
Yeah.
For Manchester City.
Okay.
For Arsenal, I think it's going to be Martin Odegaard. Martin Odegaard has to have a good game. He needs to get on the ball, picking out passes, doing what he does.
Yeah.
Likes of Martinelli, feeding the likes of Saka, Havertz, whoever it is. Because it seems, at least in the past, at the Etihad, they cannot get anything going offensively, and they struggle. They don't have service to those players. And so that's why I think Odegaard will need to be the biggest threat for Arsenal if they want to succeed in this game.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be that moment for Martin Odegaard where, you know, he silences his doubters and all those people like myself that have compared him to Kevin De Bruyne. It's his moment to prove people like me right and people like you wrong.
How is it proving me wrong? I'm saying
you said he disappears in big games. That's what I'm saying.
He has disappeared in big games.
That's what I'm saying. He has to show up.
Okay, that's what I'm saying too, though. I literally just said he has to show up.
I'm agreeing with
you. But yes, Kevin De Bruyne has stepped up in big game occasions. Mm-hmm. Martin Odegaard has not.
Yes.
That's just how it is.
I'm agreeing with you.
Don't say because prove me right and me wrong or whatever.
I'm just saying that he has to.
He does.
He has to show up in the big games. So I'm agreeing with you.
Okay. So what duel are you looking the most forward to then out of this?
It's got to be Martin Odegaard against Rodri, right?
Oh, I'm looking forward to also Haaland and Saliba, man.
Yeah, so am I. So am I. And Gabriel, who I think might be the most under the radar defender in the Premier League this season.
He's been
outstanding. Erling Haaland, it's which Erling Haaland's going to show up. If it's the one that's been playing the last 5-6 games, it's going to be a joke.
Is it small game Erling Haaland where he scores a hat trick or big game Erling Haaland where he disappears?
I mean, this is a big game.
This is a big game. Will he disappear?
See.
Will he show up?
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah.
Same part.
And then it's all going to depend on who starts, right? Like, where is Phil Foden going to line up? Is he going to be on the left side and be up against Jakob Kivior? Or is he going to be on the left side and be against Ben White?
I suspect with no KDB, he could be the number 10.
Yeah, it's possible. I think they probably put Bernardo Silva at the number 10 and put Kovacic in there to give them a little bit more defensive cover. But we'll see, and we're going to get into that in a little bit, who we think is going to start. But, yeah, I think there's so many duels all across the field that are going to be fascinating. I mean, what about
duels.
If John Stones plays, starts pushing up the field,
Declan?
Martin Odegaard and Kai Havertz, how are they going to get in behind and make it a two-on-one situation? So many duels. And to be honest with you, when it all comes down to it, what specific duels am I looking forward to the most? It's Pep Guardiola against Mikel Arteta.
Okay.
Looking forward to.
I like
because
it.
These
I like that
two,
answer.
Who is going to overthink it? Who is going to simplify it? This is a chess match between, you know, the mentor and the mentee. Who is going to step up and finally either Pep's going to keep dominating this rivalry or Arteta's finally going to step out of his shadow? Which one is it going to be?
So far this season, Arteta has won the rivalry in the Community Shield and in that first game.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see if he can keep it up.
But this is where it matters the most.
But what do you think will be the deciding factor in the outcome of this match? Will it be a set piece? Will it be a mistake? What do you think is going to decide this game?
I'm going to go with, I mean, it could be. Right? It could be any of those things. I'm going to go with which Arsenal team shows up. Is it the young kids that are immature, crumble under the pressure? Or is it this team we've seen this season that seems to thrive under pressure, seem to have grown up? Which team is it going to be?
So that's what you think will be the deciding factor. Okay.
I think so. Because if this Arsenal team plays like they did against Liverpool, I think it's a similar scoreline. If they don't,
so you're not wrong. That Liverpool game, they dominated. It was at the Emirates. They deserved that win. This is a different animal. They're traveling to the Etihad, where you remember last season, we were also very optimistic. And Man City wiped the floor with them, man. I mean, the KDB Haaland show was on display for the world to see.
And from there, they went on, won the rest of their games, won the title.
For me, I'm going to say the deciding factor is going to be Erling Haaland.
Fair. It's a good point.
If he can show up for Man City, if he can finish some opportunities, they win. If he goes quiet and disappears, I think Arsenal could get something.
Good chap. Good chap.
But give me, what do you think the starting lineup's going to be for each team? Give me your Arsenal, Man City starting lineups.
Okay.
How do you think Arsenal's,
for me, Arsenal's going to be easy, right?
It's going to
be the
same
lineup that they've lined up against Liverpool. You know, Raya and goal, Saliba and Gabriel, Kivior, Ben White, Jorginho, Declan Rice, Martin Odegaard, Bukayo Saka, Martinelli, who should be back from his ankle injury, and Kai Havertz up front. That's, I mean, Arsenal is the easy one.
I do suspect that'll be the, starting lineup.
Man City, it's going to depend on who's healthy and who's not. I mean, we got Ortega's going to be in goal. We know that. Ederson's out for another 2 weeks. Their defense, if everyone's healthy, is Walker, Stones, Diaz, and Ake. Walker's not healthy.
Does Rico Lewis slot in?
Rico Lewis slot in. Does Gvardiol slot in? You play with four center backs with the amount of speed Arsenal has. I don't know if that's the right play.
I think Rico Lewis might slot in.
I would agree. Midfield, Rodri, obviously. Kevin De Bruyne is healthy and is able to play. He starts. Otherwise, Kovacic. And I think Bernardo Silva will be that number 10. Either way. Attack, Foden, left or right, you choose. Other side, Alvarez. He's been fantastic anywhere you play him.
I do think Alvarez might start this game over the likes of a Doku.
Because watching what Pep did against Liverpool, where he brought Doku on late and he definitely threatened their outside backs and made a great contribution, I think he's going to try the same thing again. Because, you know, players get tired as the game goes on, especially a battle like this. You put Doku on there, he could be the difference maker.
And you do remember early... the first game, Ben White shut down Doku.
Oh, yeah.
Started.
Oh, yeah. And then Erling Haaland up front, obviously. How about you?
Yeah, it's going to be similar. I mean, same Arsenal lineup. We'll see who's at right back. If it's Kyle Walker, Rico Lewis. Stones, if he can play. If not, then yeah, it might be Ruben Diaz, Ake, or Akanji if he can play. I mean, at this point, it's hard to predict this Man City lineup with the potential injuries they have.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you mentioned, a Gvardiol potentially at left back. You're right. Rodri, Bernardo Silva, maybe a Kovacic, Haaland, Alvarez, Haaland, Alvarez, Foden. And it's tough, man, because you know that Man City team, so fluid. They're going to be going every which way. They might have lineup with four up top. Who knows? It's tough to predict.
It's Pep, man. He could play with five up top. Who knows? He could play at six at the back. Who knows?
All right, man. So I'm going to ask you the big question. What will be the score of this game? Who wins?
I've been feeling this for a couple weeks now, and I'm going to stick with it. I'm going 3-1
Arsenal. 3-1
Arsenal. 3-1 Arsenal.
From Redbeard. You heard it here first on Bruce and Banter FC. I love it, man.
Go big, or go home, my friend.
I hope that's the score line. I really do. I'm going to go with a 1-1 draw.
That's probably more likely. I think with the injuries and the way Arsenal have stepped up in big games this season and the way Erling Haaland has been playing versus Saliba and Gabriel, I see Foden getting a goal and then Arsenal getting three.
For me, I was too optimistic last year. I am not trying to do that this year. Staying humble.
I know. I was the optimistic one last year. We have now switched. So
you are.
Well, and you said, you did say City were going to win the title, and I stuck with my pick of Arsenal.
You did.
So.
You did. Or you
this
have,
is going to be
guess.
The
you
match.
Have.
This is going to be the match that sets the pace for the rest of the season. I'm not going to say it's a title decider, but it sets the pace.
Okay, well, let's look at the other team. Let's look at the other team in this title race, Liverpool, as they host Brighton.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, all games are pretty much must-win for Liverpool if they want to win the title. Because the game this weekend between Man City and Arsenal, depending on who wins that, it could prove very fortuitous for them.
Especially a draw, right? Just like Arsenal fans wanted a City-Liverpool draw. Best outcome for Liverpool is they get a win. City and Arsenal draw.
So we'll see if they can continue on against Brighton. Which, the way Brighton have been playing this season, man, I'd be surprised if they didn't win.
Especially away from home. They've been pretty bad. They've lost only one game at home, but they've lost a ton of games away from home.
Well, if they've only lost one at home, that means they've lost seven away.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that'll be a big game for Liverpool.
I got to say, I think Liverpool are probably going to win this one pretty handily, the way that Brighton have been playing. It's just it's the injuries, man. When is it going to catch up to Liverpool?
That's the big question. We've been saying when now for a little while, and so far it has not. So maybe they can ride it out. We'll see.
We'll see. It's got to happen at some point. It happens to every single team that has this many injuries. When is it going to happen? They will drop points at some point. Is it going to be the Brighton game? I don't think so. What do you think?
I don't think so either.
No.
I mean, we went over their kind of schedules here. And it's not terribly difficult.
Everton, there's some Fulham, tricky games in there.
Tottenham Villa.
Yeah.
Tottenham Villa is probably the ones we're looking at.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, now that we've gone through the top three, let's get to the rest of the teams in this league, man. And we're going to do something special where we're going to rank every Premier League manager from top to bottom. All 20.
Top to bottom.
All 20. So, Targo, you want to start from the top and go to the bottom, or you want to start from the bottom?
Which one do you want to do?
I want you to start from the top and go to the bottom, because I want to see who you think is the worst manager in the Premier League. Because the top is going to be pretty, like, obvious, right?
Pretty obvious who number one is, right? I mean, it's got to be Pep Guardiola.
Yep.
Duh. Sorry.
Same here.
Number two, also pretty obvious, Jurgen Klopp. Only managers with a Premier League and a Champions League underneath their belt.
Yep.
My number three, I got Unai Emery.
Okay. I can see where you're coming from, but I'm still surprised.
He's won European trophies, man.
Yeah, but we're talking about Premier League managers, what they're doing right now.
He's in the Premier League now, but he's won trophies. He's won more trophies than my number fourth pick, which is Mikel Arteta, which I'm guessing is the one you have an issue with. Maybe should have had him number three.
But this is my list. Opinion. Yeah.
Number five, I have... For the beautiful football they play, I hate the team, but damn, do they play exciting football. And that is Ange Postecoglou.
Yeah.
He's done some fantastic things in Asia, Celtic last season.
And his press conferences are must watch every single time.
They are. My number six, Roberto De Zerbi.
Oh, okay.
I do feel like his reputation might have hit a little bit of snag this season. I think there's a couple managers I could say that about.
Yep, quite a few.
I will say that about.
When we get there.
My number seven is Gary O'Neill. Guy has been fucking spectacular, man. Fucking spectacular. Saved Bournemouth last season. Wolves? I thought they were going to get relegated, man. They were in shambles. What's his name? Luptigi had left. He had a week with the squad. They come out and put out a fantastic performance against United. Have been doing amazing things in the Premier League. Sit top half of the table, Wolves, FYI. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Gary
O'Neill. Above Newcastle and Chelsea, might I add.
Thank you. Good ad. Mm-hmm. Love Gary O'Neill. He's doing great. I suspect big things for his career in the future. My number eight is David Moyes. people don't like him for some, or West Ham fans, I should say, don't like him for some reason. I'll admit, he has the stinker every once in a while. Guy won you a European trophy though last season. You also sit top half of the table. Be happy with what you have, because it could be a lot worse. At number 9, I have Eddie Howe. I think it's more for last season before, where he saved Newcastle, and then fantastic season they had last year. This year, again, a bit of a sinker.
Yeah.
Bit of a sinker, but again, it's the football they play. They do play fun, exciting, entertaining football, which you love to see. My number 10 is Marco Silva, Fulham manager.
Yeah.
Fulham, man, not doing half bad, sitting in 12th. Last season, they had a good run. Number 11, Mauricio Pochettino. So, Chelsea sit in 11th, and I have him in 11th.
Okay.
Speaks for itself, right?
Mm-hmm.
I definitely do feel like he should be doing better with the amount of money that has been spent on these players. I like to see coaches get the best out of their players. I don't think I am seeing that from Pochettino, if I'm being honest with you. Say, like Gary O'Neill. Number 12, Thomas Frank. If this was last year, he probably would have been much higher. Again, this season, Brentford not doing the best. They're sitting in 15th, kind of flirting with a bit of relegation.
Yeah, a little bit.
So that's why he has taken such a hard hit. 13th, I have Antoni Iraola. Bournemouth manager. Have you pronounced that?
Yeah.
Took him a few games to get used to the Premier League, but I think they figured it out. They sit 13th, doing well. He's getting the best out of Solanke, man. Having his best season yet. And then after him in 14th, I have Erik ten Hag. This season, I think he's just taking a nosedive, man. That guy's reputation, coaching style, whatever you want to call it, has sucked. And I do not rate him anymore. I have Sean Dyche in 15th. Saved Everton last season, man. That's got to count for something, because that team sucked
when he came in. And he's currently saving them with a point deduction.
We'll see if any more come, but
we'll see you this week coming up.
In 16th, I have Rob Edwards, Luton manager. Again, I like what he's doing. He's trying to change up their style. They put up a fight, Luton, every single game.
Every game.
Gotta love that. 17th, I have Nuno Espirito Santo, the Forest manager. He just came in this season, but they sit in relegation after their points deduction. And they just haven't, I don't think they've been playing very good, if I'm being honest.
No, not at all.
One win in their last 5, so yeah. 18th, I have Oliver Glasner. Only been at the helm a few games, so it's kind of tough, but we'll see. Obviously, if he starts winning some games, he could shoot up that list. 19th, Chris Wilder, Sheffield manager. Sheffield, they suck. Don't look too much better at a Chris Wilder, but he's not last because he didn't start the season with them. That's the only reason. Because in last place, I have Vincent Kompany, because he has sucked fat donkey balls.
Hey.
Fat donkey balls. Refuses to change his play style. His team is terrible. They sit 19th, getting relegated. And yeah, that is my list. Give me yours, man.
All right. Well, I'm going to start with the same two, right? Pep's number 1, Klopp's number 2. I got to put Mikel Arteta at number 3.
Okay,
I'm not disagreeing with you, because it was very close for me between him and Unai Emery, who is my 4th.
Your bias showed a little. That's all right.
Mikel Arteta has done.
It's your opinion. You're an Arsenal
what
fan.
What Mikel Arteta has done this season, transforming the way Arsenal play, this season and last season.
Then they
season,
crumbled.
More this season so they don't crumble. Shows how he's maturing as a coach, and I still think, and I will say it, I know you said at one point Arteta out. I still think this man will take Arsenal to the promised land.
You finish 8th, man. It's hard to want to coach in.
Yeah, well, Unai Emery also finished around the same spot. So
Unai Emery has European trophies.
Yeah, with Villarreal. Not with Aston Villa. Anyways, he's my fourth. Unai Emery is. Number five, Big Ange.
You have Ange, all right.
Yep.
I love him that highly.
I want to not, but I rate the manager, not the team, right? What he's doing with the team. So, number five.
He is doing a lot with that shit bunch.
Yes, exactly.
You saw what Conte and Mourinho did with them. Hot damn.
Mm-hmm. Number six, Gary O'Neill.
One spot higher than me, okay.
Woo! Has he done some wonderful things with Wolves this season? And you got to look at the squad, right? There's no way they should be ninth in the table with that squad. And he's doing fantastic things. Saved Bournemouth last season, and with that squad, shouldn't have stayed in the Premier League.
I thought Bournemouth were done, man. I really did last year.
Roberto De Zerbi is my number seven.
Oh, okay.
I think you are right.
He's taken a bit of a hit this season,
and I think because of the coaches that have come before him playing with the same players, he's more of a victim, or he has had success because of the system that is put in place at Brighton. So I will say he's done good things, which is why he's still in the top half of my list, but that is why he's only number seven. Number eight, Eddie Howe. I still won't forget last season. I won't. The man took them from relegation to the top four. Still going to be up there. Number nine, Marco Silva. What he's done with that Fulham squad has been fantastic. Number 10, Thomas Frank. You look at this squad that he has and where he's taken them, especially last season. This season, not so much. He was missing his best player for most of the season, so I'll at least give him credit for that. Although they haven't gotten any better since he came back. Number 11, David Moyes. David, whatever you want to call him.
He's English. It's David.
He's English. David Moyes. Spanish. It's the stinker games that get me, man. They win big games. They lose games they should not lose, and they lose them convincingly. So for me, that's why he's so low on my list. Number 12, Adoni Iraola. We were questioning at the beginning of the season his hiring at Bournemouth.
He took a minute.
He has shown since then why he was hired. So I'll put him there. Number 13, Mauricio Pochettino. What is this guy? I'll ask you a question. What has he done besides win a title at PSG? Which pretty much any manager on this list could have won a title there.
Cut Spurs to a Champions League final.
Okay. Did he win anything, though?
Does any Tottenham manager win anything?
No. Which is why he's so low on my list, man. It's why he's so low on my list. He's got these 100 million pound players, not doing shit with them. They can't play with each other. We're shit.
But they've had injuries.
This is like one of the deepest squads in the Premier League because they've spent over £1 billion in the last two seasons. That is, if they stay in the Premier League after all of the financial fair play stuff. Number 14, Sean Dyche. I mean, he's done fantastic things with Everton since taking over. He did fantastic things with Burnley, right?
Yeah, Burnley.
Burnley.
Only got him relegated, though.
Yeah, he did. But he's kept Everton up two seasons in a row, and I did not think that was possible.
One season. This will be two seasons.
I'm counting it now. Number 15, Erik ten Hag. Most clueless manager in the whole Premier League. Number 16, Rob Edwards. Love what he's doing with Luton.
I hope he stays in the Prem. I really hope Luton stay up, man. I said at the beginning of the season, these point deductions are doing nothing but helping them. But
yep, I think they will. I think you were onto something. Number 17, Oliver Glasner. He's done fantastic since taking over for Roy Hodgson.
I wouldn't say fantastic, but he hasn't done terrible.
Comparatively to Roy Hodgson, fantastic. I mean,
they've got one win in their last five.
But they also have two draws, which that amount of points is more than Roy Hodgson had in his last like eight games.
If you remember that last draw, though, it was against Luton where they were up 2-0. Just saying.
I credit that more to Luton. Number 18, Nuno Espirito Santo.
That's why Rob Edwards was higher. Got it.
Yep. Number 19, Vincent Kompany. Because number 20, Chris Wilder.
You have Chris Wilder last?
Number 20, because he has shown at home the worst performances I have ever seen in the Premier League. Five in a row, three in a row, losing more by more than five goals. What do you guys think?
Games they had a red card. I mean,
whatever. They have won some games I didn't think they should have. But what do you guys think? Who do you rank as the best manager in the Premier League all the way down to who is the worst? Do you agree with our list? Let us know on our Facebook group, our Instagram, Brews FC, our TikTok, Brews Banter FC. Make sure just let us know right down below. Check us out, all your favorite podcast platforms. Make sure you're giving us 5 stars. Like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. And until next time, my friends, as always, we love you. Cheers.